Carl, first question. Obviously, the Tim Durham has been an issue. For our audience and folks who may not understand fully what's going on, could you explain your relationship with Tim Durham?
Well, sure. Tim's been, I've considered Tim a friend for several years. He has served as my finance chairman for the 2006 campaign. He's a contributor to my campaign, like he is to dozens and dozens of other candidates, political committees, charitable organizations. He's hosted events for me as well. He solicited contributions. He has donated, you know, a significant amount of money, about $140,000 or so. But over the course of the entire campaign, we've raised, well, since 2001, over $4 million from thousands and thousands of contributors, about 2,500 or so. And so while it's significant, you got to put it in the context of how much money we've raised overall.
These recent allegations that have come out regarding Tim, the FBI investigation into Fair Financial, you know, Obsidian and some of the other places, how has that impacted your, I guess for lack of a term, you know, work, office, et cetera? You know, is this just a distraction or is there something more to it?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, number one, I agreed to serve on the board of Fair Financial back earlier this summer. And I was on the board for really 2 months at the most. When we realized there was information that was going to come out through the Indianapolis Business Journal that were questioning some of the practices over at Fair Finance, I decided that it wasn't a good idea to go on the board at that time. And then since that moment, you know, from the moment that they, the FBI conducted the investigation, executed the search warrants and all that, I mean, obviously we've gotten dozens and dozens of questions from media outlets. And so that has been a distraction. But in terms of, you know, the overall morale of the prosecutor's office and the day-to-day business of going after the bad guys, it hasn't really affected it. In fact, last Friday, you reported that Brian Reese, who attempted to kill Jason Fishburne, got the maximum sentence, 59 years, for that attempted murder.
Looking at Fair Financial, you said you sat on the board for a couple of months. What was going through your thought process? Because obviously, you know, a lot of elected officials may serve on not-for-profit agencies. This is actually a for-profit company, finances, et cetera. I mean, did you run it through maybe like the prosecutor's ethics officer to see that this would be okay? Or was there any of that? Or just say, hey, it was Tim, hey, buddy, why don't you come serve on my board? Sure, I'm interested.
Well, it was, I was invited to serve on the board by Tim. It was not a conflict in terms of my duties as prosecutor. Fair Financial is an Ohio-based company. They've been in business since the 1930s. They are essentially a factoring company, a company that goes out and buys consumer receivables at a discount so that the businesses can have access to cash. And then it, in turn, runs those receivables and makes money that way. And so it was a concept that I was interested in. I, however, run an office of 400 employees. My budget is in excess of $28 million a year. And I should have, in retrospect, done more due diligence in terms of the business practices of Fair Finance before I agreed to serve on the board. Now, notwithstanding that, I, of course, had no idea that Tim Durham or Fair or any of the other folks involved with that company were going to be accused of running a Ponzi scheme. Obviously, if I had any suspicion, I wouldn't have agreed to do it because I've suffered some, you know, the press has been bad for the last 2 weeks. So obviously that makes no sense for me to agree to serve on a board if I thought any of that was going on, and certainly had no idea that the federal government was investigating.
You talked about Tim helping you raise money, about $140,000. Tim Durham also had the very flashy lifestyle. I was just doing some reading before interview on an article done in Indianapolis Monthly, Outrageous Fortune. They talk about his 100-foot yacht, Britney Spears wanting to buy his Beverly Hills residency, Ludacris on one line, you on the other line on the phone having these conversations. At any point in time during your friendship, did it just concern you that, you know, is everything on the up and up, or is this all just a bit much?
Well, I never had any reason to think that there was anything less than honest, if that's what you're asking. I mean, obviously, you know, he never said to me, gee, Carl, do you know how I afford, you know, this yacht? I'm running a Ponzi scheme. That obviously was not something that we ever talked about in any way. Because, look, I'm the Marion County prosecutor, and I have to hold myself to a higher standard. And if I thought for a second that Tim was anything other than a really smart businessman, then I would have, you know, that I would have parted ways. And so now he's accused of some very serious allegations, and we will, hopefully, all of us will not judge what's going on until all of the evidence comes in. That's what I would do as prosecutor.
Another, you talk about the investment in one company, CLST Holdings. You had a $10,000 investment. There have been questions about the, I want to say the Indianapolis Stars raised issues in its latest editorial. They need to explain that in more detail. I guess, where did you get the money? How did you invest? Did you get sort of a special deal? Could you go into that $10,000 investment?
Started buying CellStar back in 2005. I don't remember how much the initial investment was. It was far less than $10,000. Where did I get the money? I don't know. It was in my bank account. I didn't take any loans or from Fair Financial or Fair Holdings and it wasn't a gift. I mean, I paid for it. Just like you would make an investment. And it was something that my friends and I were all looking at different stocks, different investments. I've been doing this now for almost 15 years. And so not something at all out of the ordinary.
Do you worry that because of this, now all your finances, you know, have come under in and under scrutiny, that everyone's going to go back and look through every single last campaign contribution you might have gotten since 2001, and now everything and any sort of financial dealing or any sort of personal business, that if it was anybody else, would just sit in a file somewhere and be left alone, is now all subject to public scrutiny?
Well, that's something that I think that as a public official, you come to expect in terms of those campaign finance reports. People are more than welcome to go through the different contributors and that sort of thing. And then it's, you know, as far as my decision to sit on the board of FAIR, and then obviously after 2 months getting off of the board, certainly that is, I think, something that the public, has the right to ask questions about, and I'm happy to answer those questions.
For the 2 months that you were on the board at FAIR Financial, did you go to meetings? Did you make any decisions? Did you look over in the company's holdings and say, all right, these look like good receivables, bad receivables? Or was it just sort of, sort of serving in almost an emeritus position where you're just sort of there as, in name only?
No, it just never got to that point. I agreed to serve on the board in the time that I agreed to serve and the time that I actually resigned. We didn't have a board meeting. I was never compensated. I never was privy to any of those kinds of discussions. And so it never got to that point. I know some folks may say that, well, Tim just wanted, a friend on the board, a rubber stamp or whatever. And I think that, folks who know me, I've been the prosecutor now for 7 years. I've made lots and lots of tough decisions, and I'm not a rubber stamp kind of guy. And so if I had remained on the board and was privy to information that something was not on the up and up, I think you know me well enough to know that I'd be the first one with the whistle, making sure that there was compliance.